Lesson 6. Silent World. Imagine living in a totally silent world, one in which no words are spoken and no sounds are heard. Would you be entirely unable to communicate with others and therefore feel very isolated? Probably not if you could express your thoughts in a rudimentary manner by using simple gestures. Pointing to yourself, for example, would mean me. Pointing to another person would mean you. In 1755, Abbé Michel de Lespée used this idea to develop a simple language with its own vocabulary and grammar. At the school he founded in Paris, he taught people whose profound loss of hearing had left them speechless to communicate through hand and arm movements, later known as the manual method. During the same time period, a different system was developed in England and Germany. Its proponents rejected the French method and favored teaching deaf people to enunciate words and to lip read, later known as the oral method. At this time, the United States had no school for deaf people. Concerned about this deficiency, a group of Connecticut citizens sent Thomas Gallaudet, a young minister, to Europe in 1815 to make an assessment of both the manual and the oral approaches. For some reason, the people running the English school were unwilling to impart their teaching methods to Gallaudet. Perhaps they feared he would lure away their students, depriving them of their livelihood. So Gallaudet went to France. After a lengthy sojourn in Paris, he returned to Connecticut to propagate the French method in the United States. His advocacy of the French approach might have had something to do with his treatment by the English. Within a year, Gallaudet had opened the first free school for the deaf, which later became the American School for the Deaf in Hartford, Connecticut. Here, he used a system known as American Sign Language, ASL, in which signs are word-like units made with one or both hands to form obvious shapes and make distinctive movements. Spatial relations, direction, and orientation of hand movements comprise the grammar of ASL, which shares some elements with spoken English. Gallaudet's method caught on quickly. Other schools opened, and for the next few decades, ASL held the ascendancy in the United States. Then in the 1840s, the alternative oral method, using actual speech and lip reading, was introduced at the Clark School for the Deaf in Worcester, Massachusetts. Both methods and the different approaches they embody have continued to generate vociferous debate. Opponents of the speech lip reading method claim that students who have never heard speech cannot duplicate it well enough to be understood properly. Also, lip reading can be misleading. The lip movements when pronouncing the words mat, bat, and pat, for example, all look the same. Opponents of ASL, on the other hand, aver that deaf students who communicate with gestures can do so only among themselves and are thus cut off from contact with the rest of the population. In 1969, a large residential school in Maryland introduced the concept of total communication. This philosophy, increasingly influential today, does not follow a single approach dogmatically. Instead, it uses a combination of whatever works for a particular individual. Options include speech, lip reading, signing, mime, gestures, fingerspelling, art, reading, writing, and use of electronic media. Since the mid-20th century, significant gain has been made in removing the barriers that separate people with disabilities from the rest of the population. Progress toward this end continues with the passing of federal and state legislation, the advocacy of parents and educators, and the challenges of individual citizens. One such challenge was made by Shannon Merriman, who in 1992 was a 16-year-old Rhode Island high school student. At that time, she tried to enter the High School Voice of Democracy contest, a national oratorical competition, which attracts over 200,000 entrants annually. Merriman, having lost her hearing when she was 2, communicates through ASL. When the sponsors of the competition rejected her application, she challenged the legality of their act, causing them to concede her the right to participate. She didn't win the competition, but she opened up one more opportunity for hearing-impaired people to participate in mainstream American life. The topic of the contest that year was particularly apropos. It was My Voice in America's Future.